I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had, there are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, January 19th, 2024 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. To be sure, I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And I think we got a lot of ground to cover today. So let's start off by saying yes. Yesterday was exciting, and we had fun. Jeremy from Kentucky was on and back by popular demand today, again today. Jeremy. Good morning, Jeremy.
Thanks. It's great to be on the Chris and Jeremy show. I know people are anticipating the commercial, which hopefully will be upcoming. Perhaps it'll be every bit as spicy as the Patrick and Jeremy commercial. Who knows?
Well, you know, I think we're still in first gear. So, you know,
yeah.
By the time we get maybe third or fourth gear, it could be really spicy. So there was the after show yesterday, and that was, I don't know, you can't handle the truth, but I don't know if people could handle that kind of stuff. So
the after show, which was, it was recorded,
yeah,
possibly for future reference, depending on what's going on.
So that should be fun. Anyway, thank you for coming back. I think today is going to be really fun. I think
yes,
it'll be
agreed.
A fun Friday. We talked yesterday about doing some kind of a fun idea for a fundraiser Friday kind of thing. And I don't feel like we came up with anything clever. So I guess we just dive in and do the usual thing. This is the last week of the second annual John Stab Miller book drive. Make a donation of $100 or more for your chance to win. And this week's fabulous book, One Nation Under Israel by Andrew Hurley. And then there's the quilt raffle, also the New Year Rebel Madman Rabble Razor quilt raffle, which includes the Confederate battle flag quilt. You don't get the dog, as you say. No dog. Just the quilt and the RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, and bumper stickers, which is a great collection of stuff. And this is, you know, to keep the network going and to shine a bright light on a place where we don't have some kind of Tavistockian talking point powwow in the mornings. We are not told what to say. I don't know about you. I can speak for myself. I've always maintained, as you know, that no one has ever tried to steer me. And sometimes, to my consternation, when I used to host the guest host the National Intel Report, and I would ask, is there anything, you know, is there a hot topic today or something that you want to continue or want me to talk about? Nope, just do your thing. Okay. So,
yeah,
for better or worse, never
that's
steer.
What makes it great, isn't it? And that's what John started when I came on as a host. John called me on the cell phone and he just says, you talk about your content is your content. Here's the parameters, no profanity. Mm-hmm. You know, don't use slurs. Otherwise, you know, your content is your content. So, because he knew that I'd been brought in by Patrick Slattery, and so he was giving me just a few little boundaries there, and I've always tried to respect those.
Mm-hmm. Well, I never, for whatever it's worth, I never even got that much. So that's I don't know. That's a testament to the network and obviously John Stadmiller's legacy. And so, you know, this is a unique place, I think, in that sense. And it is important to keep it going.
It is. It is, and what a shame for it to stop. And what a shame that the board ops are probably not even going to get paid next week. All right. So this, if you would allow me, Chris. Now, on my show, this is your show. You handle this how you want. On my show, we had a fundraiser 1 week, and on the last Friday night, I shook down all the callers. I asked them how much have they given to RBN and how much will they give after this phone call. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get it. Everybody's in different financial situations. But, you know, dollar, $5, come on. There's my shill for you.
Well, I was thinking about it last night, and I was thinking, you know, so everybody that knows you and everybody that knows me, I think, understands that we bring a biblical perspective, and not just biblical, but, you know, trying to honor God. That's what I mean when I say biblical, you know, trying to honor the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's always the foundation, or that's what I always come back to. I think it's the same for you. And so in thinking about this topic, I wouldn't want people to think or get the impression, I guess. You want, biblically speaking, you want to avoid even the appearance of evil. So I wouldn't even want people to get the impression that we're trying to make merchandise of people, as the Bible says, or go, you know, the error of Balaam kind of thing. But the reality is, it is a listener-supported network. So if we want these broadcasts to continue, then, you know, there is no Ford Foundation grant, as I say.
And it's like this. I'm self-employed. I'm a contractor. I mostly do painting and drywall. Even though, as a Irishman who's apparently at the bottom of the evolutionary cult,
we'll get to that.
I have to stoop and do, you know, some more menial jobs. Now, if I came to your house and I painted your house and bought the paint and you didn't reimburse me, you know, I mean, that's not
fair.
Well,
it would never happen because we don't let dirty Irishmen work, you know.
Ooh. Anyway. Yeah. That's okay. I've got a bunch of replies tucked away here.
People who, we'll get to this. We're going to, there's a reason that he's saying what he's saying.
But look, Mike and Julie and Sam, and I mean, they've painted your house, okay, every week, and with good content, and have bought a bunch of paint, and the bill's due at Lowe's, so it's time to fork it up. I mean, that's where I'm coming from, and I understand completely where you're coming from. In all seriousness, and trying not to be like too joking, I don't want to take advantage of people. I know there's people that are hurting out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of the audience is on a fixed income. I get it.
Yeah. Yep. So whatever you can do, if you appreciate the content on this network, please, by all means, support the network. However makes sense to you. We have the two fundraising campaigns that I mentioned, the book drive and the quilt raffle. And then, of course, you can jump on and, as Jeremy says, smash the donate button. So you can do that too, whatever works. And for those who support the network, we greatly appreciate it. And if you don't currently or have never, please consider doing it now if that's possible, if you're able. So I think we covered it. You have anything else to add to that?
I mean, I'll just add, you know, us coming on the same show, like, yes, we both agree on so much biblically. That's why we're able to do spiritual content. I can't do spiritual content with someone that is going to espouse heretical beliefs. It'll just turn into a huge, you know, argument / debate.
Well, can I interject?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you want
Please.
To finish? Well, you sound like a pretty amiable guy, but I know that, you know, in the off-air conversations that we've had about that, if things go in a, you're pretty amiable, but if we're talking about the Bible, if there's, when you say heretical, I think to offer a point of clarification, when there's something that is, I forget how you put it that one time that I'm thinking of that we talked about it. If there's something that is fundamentally in error, or, you know, shall we say doctrinally in error, you won't let it go. And I don't think you should. I agree with that. And so,
yeah, to be even more clear, if anyone that would put forth information that does not agree with the Bible about the person of God, you know, the Godhead and the means of salvation of eternal life, that's what I push back on hard. Everything mm-hmm. else, I'm willing to have a nice, friendly debate.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to finish up by saying that you and I do have some different points of view politically. We kind of come from similar backgrounds, but
we're both dirty, you know, Irishmen.
That is true, even though you've got some of that British blood mixed in, so I guess you're a little bit better. Higher IQ, I can see that.
Somehow.
But, you know, everyone knows that I hang out with the white nationalist guys, and at one time I called myself one. I'm reforming my views, but I haven't changed them totally. And so we're both seeing things through a biblical perspective, but we're both bringing in an interesting perspective, I think. And I think maybe we can hash out a lot of these things today. And we have been.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're drawing a large portion of the RBN audience, you know, from the Christian conservative side. I'm sort of drawing some from the more down to earth white nationalist side. But I think that's why this is popular. I think that's why people want to hear it.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. Yeah. Absolutely. It's Friday. We're already having fun. We probably should play a clip so people understand what we're talking about. Why all this dirty Irishman talk? Well, there's a reason. From Richard Grove's interview with John Taylor Gatto, The Ultimate History Lesson, that 5-hour deal plus, back in 2011, there were some fun talking points. And so I think what we're going to do is we're going to play a few clips. There's some other stuff that I want to get to as well. But I think we'll save that stuff for later. And you, we have you for sure for the first hour, just so the audience knows. We have you for sure for the first hour. Second hour, there's going to be a transition probably. And you'll be on for the second hour too, probably, but a little different. And so is that kind of what we're expecting?
After the first break, I need to get on the phone because I'm going out to a job that kind of came up unexpectedly. But I'll be able to finish the show. Like, it'll sound like I'm a caller, basically, the sound
right
quality.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's all the information that people need to kind of set the stage and the right expectations. And so next, you know, there's all kinds of other stuff. But first, is that right? Yeah. So we're going to listen to a kind of an extended clip, I would say, about 11 minutes from the second hour of the Ultimate Underground History Lesson, A Weekend with John Taylor Gatto. That was recorded back in 2011. That was Richard Grove interviewing John Taylor Gatto. And so we're going to do that right now. We're going to skip the first break, I guess, to do that. So about 11 minutes, what's all this Dirty Irishman talk about? Well, you'll hear as we play these clips. So go ahead, please, sir.
So we have this ominous continuity among major minds with a lot of influence, including transatlantic influence on the States. We have, prior to the break, Fichte in Prussia, Spinoza in Holland, and Calvin really beginning in Geneva and spreading all over where his theology spread. But the father of this, at least in the form of written documentation that's easily available, has to be Plato, the Greek aristocrat who speaks through the mouth of Socrates and writes two influential utopias, one well-known, the Republic, and one not so well-known, the Laws, which is the product of his mature reflection on what needs to be done. And all four of these men, and we could, if we had time, do 40, but these four major names spanning European history agree that the ordinary population is A, very dangerous to the social order if it learns how to think and if its imagination remains intact. And furthermore, we have this corollary that there is no way to improve this. And what I've left out is the killer app that occurs in the middle to the end of the 19th century from one of the wealthiest families on planet Earth, the family of Charles Darwin, and their former Anglican minister trained son, Charles, who in his second major publication, The Descent of Man, says that the evolutionarily retarded are fatally dangerous to the physical integrity of the human race, the advance of civilization, because of the few evolutionarily advanced, like the Scandinavian blondes and the English blondes, crossbreed, God forbid, with the Irish or the Spanish, evolution will march backwards into the swirling mists of the dawnless past, and nothing can change that. Maybe a few million years might change it. Certainly nothing that current generations can do. Darwin, of course, is in every school, including every elementary school in the United States, probably the world, and no one bothers to mention that he doesn't say the human race is evolving. There's a few, a fraction are evolving. Now, put yourself, if you're watching this, in the position of a responsible person who learns that. As someone who's made worldly success, has a little bit of time on their hands and resources, and now you know that if these ordinary people walking around in the American democracy, if they happen to crossbreed with your daughter, evolution is going to march backwards. You now have a justification beginning in 1871, second to none. You can argue with Calvin, you can argue with Spinoza, you can argue with Plato, you can argue with Fichte. This is science and mathematics. And furthermore, and an unknown connection that has for some reason escaped the attention of the Darwinians. Darwin's earlier cousin, Thomas Malthus, has said there is no way mathematically to feed the poor, because if you feed them, they'll reproduce more successfully, and then there'll be twice as many, then four times as many. That population expands geometrically, but food only arithmetically. So we, and of course, in Darwin's diaries, he said that his pursuit of the secrets of biology are stimulated by the work of his cousin Malthus. Now we have, after Darwin's two blockbusters, the second of which...
I'm going to raise my hand from now on.
Yeah.
What's the full name of Darwin's Origin of Species?
The Progress of the Favored Races. And he does not use the term race the way we do. He recognized about 57 separate races, of which the Irish are on the very bottom. Thank goodness he said that, because a respectable percentage of every audience I speak to, that you'd otherwise be reluctant to say these things, so it's derived from, anybody here derived from a partial Irish background. You know, he said the Irish are hopeless. There is no hope for the Irish. Of course, what's left out of simply relating what Darwin said is his training as an Anglican minister. And if you happen to pick up the Anglican Book of Common Prayer, hundreds and hundreds of years preceding Darwin, you find that God's will is to divide all the living creatures and plants into an infinite number of layers, and to attempt to leave the layer you're placed in is the worst sacrilege at all. So that Darwin's theory, fully explicated, is the Anglican homily of obedience. Homily of obedience says exactly what Darwin says hundreds of years ago. Don't try to get out of your biological category because it's hopeless. And prior to that, don't try to get out of your spiritual category because it's hopeless. There's a great similarity between the two ideas. Now, if you set out to find evidence that this is so, it's much easier than simply setting out to look at the, you know, the abundance of natural forms. So the real actor in the piece, Darwin's a shy man, fantastically wealthy. That's been left out of all the, fantastically wealthy. The high-tech upper class purchase of the day was Wedgwood pottery, and that's the source of the Darwin family wealth. So Darwin's first cousin is a man I was taught in high school back in the early 1950s, is estimated to be the most intelligent single human being ever lived. I was told that over and over. His name, Francis Galton, a world famous explorer, mathematician, inventing little statistical formulae to discriminate shades of quality that the schools are infested with. And he has Mr. Galton, a worldwide following of Galton clubs, including in the United States. He makes several pilgrimages to the U.S. to spread the insight that a menace to the human race exists in 95% of the population, and there has to be a way to put them, render them harmless. School, recommended by Fichte, Spinoza, Calvin, and Plato, that's the way to do it. And we'll defend this with precise mathematical science. We will keep to ourselves the biological reason. Meanwhile, we've got to find a way for the biologically advanced to breed with one another. If you will trace the founding years of the elite private boarding schools in the United States, with the exception of no more than six, you will discover that all of them, male and female, emerge in the 30 years, including the women's colleges, the Seven Sisters, in the 30 years after the descent of man, which will be in every respectable library in the United States, and of course, overseas too. I urge you, especially if you're Irish, to pick it up and read it. You will not be disappointed to find yourself at the bottom of all the races on earth. Just as the English without Darwin would have agreed.
All right, so that's the first clip. There we find ourselves, dirty Irishmen, at the bottom of the biological heap. And according to Darwin, anyway, everybody's read Descent of Man, right? We've all read it. Anyway, so for a little bit of background, and I guess we're headed into a break here pretty quickly. It took us a while to play that, about a couple minutes. You had me on In Plain Sight the other night, Jeremy, Wednesday night, and yesterday you were on Road Warrior Radio here, and it when you asked me on In Plain Sight, Calvin was, you know, in the at least the periphery of the discussion, Arminianism, Calvinism, and John Calvin, and so Calvin is sort of the centerpiece of these clips, I think, that we want to play, that one in particular. And so that's kind of the background, the bigger picture of the plot and the conspirators.
Yes. I mean, and as he pointed out even before Chucky Darwin made his observations and wrote his thing, you know, there were people all the way back to Plato. You know, that were, and there's a reason why, if I maybe make a general statement, first of all, I don't like it that the Irish were thrown in there with the Spanish. So let me get that out. Secondly, in our defense, Irish monks spread literacy and Christianity in the third and fourth century, and Irish kings united under Brian Boru in the, 1000 AD. It was only when Cromwell came in and took up the land that our best and brightest left for America, and you're left with the Irish that Darwin observed. That's just a little aside.
So
that's,
it was the dirty English that coined the phrase that, you know, God created alcohol so that the Irish don't rule the world. Is that?
Absolutely. Amen, brother. I'm actually somewhat serious on that observation, that the best and brightest, the landowners, had their land stripped and their castles and they came and bought land from King George. And so you're left with basically a peasant group.
I feel like history is repeating itself when you say that. I don't know why, or maybe I do. We're headed into a break, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
It's the bottom of the first hour already. Golly, that was fast. So before we continue on, again, I am joined today by my special guest, Jeremy from Kentucky. And we did yesterday's Road Warrior radio broadcast. Jeremy was on the Chris and Jeremy show, as you say. Commercial forthcoming. And Wednesday evening, you had me on In Plain Sight. This is sort of a continuation, I feel, of that with the Calvin-centered or oriented clip that we played of John Taylor Gatto. But before we continue on with that, because you had a point that you were going to finish, if I may, we started out today and, you know, there was a little banter about it could get spicy. And in the break, can I mention what you said about a certain other host?
Yes, sure.
Well, so, you know, there's another broadcaster in the area of the network, and very popular for whatever reason. And so, you know, you mentioned that person in a particular context, and I said, I have the clip. It's, you know, his appearance, I think it was December 31st, 2023, on the Jimmy Dore show. As I said, on this broadcast, he basically outed himself as a Kabbalist, a guy who has professed to be a Christian at certain times, but clearly is not, and I would say has made merchandise of men, as the Bible would say, the, you know, error of Balaam. But that's, I wouldn't say that's the only one. Anyway, there's a clip. We will play it eventually, maybe soon, maybe next week. I feel like you have to know what you're hearing, though. It's like the story I tell about being in court where the public defender comes back in with this person that I knew and says, "Your Honor, while my client is adamant about preserving her constitutional right to a speedy trial, she is willing to waive her statutory right." And I almost fell off the bench I was sitting on and was like, did everybody hear that? But nobody knew what they were listening to. So I don't know if it'll be that, but we'll play the clip eventually. It's an extended clip of him just unpacking his Kabbalistic views. And it's right out in plain sight. You can go listen to it if you, you know, for anybody who's interested, you can go find it on YouTube now. But we'll get back to that. So I think that would be some spice. And I think it would be particularly interesting for anybody who's interested in that, kind of understands what they're hearing, to hear us talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Jones is going to be whatever he wants to be to make the money that he needs to make. And so and if his people are listening, he's welcome to email me and come on my show anytime for a retort.
Sure.
Bring it. Anyway.
So you had a thought?
Oh, yeah.
Finishing? Mm-hmm.
So I was making an observation. You know, I was making it in a kind of a funny, joking way, but it is true that the more aristocratic landowners, the broader ones that sort of ran Ireland, had left to America after the British conquest under Cromwell. And this wave of immigrants that came in at the potato famine were, you know, shall I say, observably less intelligent, more, you know, peasant-like. I think, the real picture that people get of the Irishman. But I'm saying this to make an overall bigger point. Mm-hmm. And it's based on the clip. Look, there are noticeable differences in the different ethnicities. I'm trying not to use the word race, even though I used it in one of my commercials. I caught myself. I was talking to Kevin McDonald. So, you know, I was sort of in that mindset. But I like to use ethnicities or nations. And I refer back to the Table of Nations. Okay. As in general, and we can talk about America in specific because, you know, differences in IQ in America and abilities can be skewed. IQ tests can be skewed. I get that. But you look at civilization and the globe in general, there are noticeable differences. Let's say in the people among the equators and in the European peoples and even in the Orientals, your Chinese and Japanese. And it's more than just their belief system religiously. You could say, well, God has blessed certain ethnicities because they've accepted him. And there's some truth to that. You can see a lot of this blessing in Europe after the spread of Christianity. But, you know, the Chinese maintain a much higher level of civilization than the peoples of the equator. This is a noticeable difference, and it has to be explained. I think if we're going to make sense of the world that we live in, a biblical explanation is the way that I choose. And then worldly men choose Darwin, who basically says that blacks are closer to primates and have not evolved to the point that Europeans have. That is the basic stance. A biblical explanation is that we all come from Noah's three sons. We were all of one ethnicity or one nation. My context for the word nation is ethnos or goyim in the Old Testament. We're all of one nation. And God divided us at Babel. The people refused to disperse and populate the earth, so he forced them. It was a judgment, but I think it was also his sovereign plan. How do we explain then the differences, the vast differences in not only appearance, but in IQ? Because a lot of the people in Africa have very, very low IQs. I mean, under 80, you know, as opposed to American blacks that average out at about 100, maybe 90 to 100. But again, throw IQ tests to the side, all that data can be skewed. It's observable. I mean, the civilization is observable. Why are these people at the equator for thousands of years just living at a basic, you know, very primal level of civilization? So the only answer from a Christian's point of view is that God has put these people in these various places and he has created them for their areas. In other words, the black has dark skin, not because he evolved. I mean, I believe in adaptation, but I believe that God had to program that in their DNA. If we're all coming from three sons of Noah, right? As the Bible says in Acts 17:26, we're all of one blood. So there's different group behaviors that have to be explained, whether you're talking about globally or whether you're talking about in the U.S., let's say group behaviors in Memphis, Chicago, Compton, New York City. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know where the violent crime is. That's got to be explained. And I'm trying to make sense of it from a biblical point of view. I've read the worldly points of view, and they, I mean, they're actually terrible. Darwin's theory is actually horrible. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Chris. Let me kick that to you now. I've talked a lot.
Well, when we went into the break, you know, the point that you were making, and I said, I feel like history is repeating, you know, the connection would be the World Economic Forum. You'll, you know, welcome to 2030. You own nothing and you've never been happier. That kind of thing. History is repeating. And it's the same old cliques of people speaking of, you know, it's interesting. As much as those people try to obfuscate and deny that these things are happening, back to your point about, you know, the when we look at, you know, places like Ezekiel 38 and people say, you know, these great battles, you know, and it's, you know, this nation, it's that nation. I always want to remind people, if you go back to Genesis 10, it's families, and those are family names. Those are names of people, by and large. And so I think that's important to remember, to your point. And we are encouraged to sort of forget that, it seems, by the very people who we should be vigilant about watching. I don't get too caught up in that. As you know, I mean, I really kind of avoid that that whole discussion, generally speaking, not necessarily because I want to avoid it or am afraid of it or anything like that. More just because it's messy. You're not shy about wading into that, and I admire that. But I would add, you know, you say, how do we explain the vast differences? I think one of the ways that can't be dismissed is environmental determinism and the way that that's been foisted upon different people groups. I think there's secret knowledge that's given to some folks. You know, there's a really interesting montage that I happened upon that was just published, I think, about a week ago. Let me see if I can find that real fast. The Curse of Mount Hermon, Part 1. So this is just Part 1. With Rob Skiba, Mike Heiser, and Chuck Missler. Very interesting stuff. Kind of centers around one Enoch, as it is technically referred to. Some people will call it the Book of Enoch. It's technically probably called One Enoch. And there's the backstory of, you know, this is not canonical and here's why, but it can be helpful for these reasons. And so, you know, you have the story of certain characters feeding mankind certain special information. And we do see a picture of that in the Bible even before the flood, for example. So I think that is an element of the vast differences that can't be dismissed, but also environmental determinism in the sense that, you know, maybe this is controversial, but, you know, some people say that, let's just say the Jews broadly, without getting into the nuance of the term, are, you know, have higher IQs than most people. And how do you explain that? And I would explain it by saying, you know, when you grow up reading the Talmud, for example, you might as well, for, you know, just for the sake of brevity to explain, you might as well be reading Machiavelli, because there is a shrewdness that you read in the Talmud that, as a, let's say a New Testament Bible believing Christian, you don't get. You are you're sort of, that's, you know, that kind of shrewdness, you, it's in there. You can, you know, like the story of the shrewd manager, for example. You know, he's writing down contracts that are not his own contracts. And so you get a hint of it, but you certainly don't get the volume of that kind of shrewdness that you get in the Talmud. And I think that's, so to understand, whoa, here's a thing, it's kind of like opening a whole different world to a person in terms of understanding human nature and how some people may operate or choose to operate or whatever. And that's just, you know, that's something that I think most people remain naive of. And I think that's a form of environmental determinism that can't be dismissed.
There's that working as I do believe in adaptation. And speaking of Jews, they do have high IQs, the Ashkenazi, but I don't think it's fully in that. And let me define my term, the people who say they're Jews who share common DNA, common genetic information, that right? Just like I would share a Y haplogroup with Celtic peoples of the British Isles, right? And these people, whether they can trace back to the Old Testament or not is anyone's guess. But these people were in Europe in a Christian environment, and they had vastly different beliefs and practices, so they ended up, you know, ghettoizing. And I think that they developed this defense mechanism. They developed this in-group preference, this nepotism, if you will, only in not just, you know, family, but cousins and distant cousins and second cousins. And I think that's how this group that calls themselves Jews have retained the power that they have gotten the power and retained it. There's an in-group preference that all the rest of us have kind of lost in the last 50 years.
Well,
what do you think about that explanation?
There are nuances that I really don't want to get off into in this broadcast, if we can avoid it.
Yes.
You know, the obvious distinction is, I would say, you know, Jesus says that he knows about those who call themselves Jews but are not. Synagogue of Satan discussion, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 territory. Who's who in the zoo? I'm more curious, you know, who Jesus says is a Jew, which I think, you know, gets back to Romans 2 and Romans 9. And we've talked, you know, I've mentioned that I've sort of quipped that the, you know, New Testament Christian is, in a certain context or certain sense, you might say, a Messianic Jew. And especially, I think that's especially supported when you see, you know, what Paul says in Romans 2 and Romans 9, children of the promise. And so that's, I'm joking. It's sort of a colloquialism, but, I think, you know, that's kind of a whole separate discussion. And I just kind of wanted to focus on what I meant was the term broadly, not distinguishing between groups. The people that the world would recognize as Jews, whether, you know, of nefarious intent or of genealogical descent, so to speak, you know, the Hebrews and the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Either way, these days, I mean, unless you're talking about maybe a specific group of Orthodox folks, but that's what I would call Orthodox is almost impossible to find. I don't think Hasidic folks are Orthodox. You know, you would be strictly Tanakh, not the extra biblical, not the extra Tanakh kind of stuff. And so,
yep.
You know, whether, you know, whichever group we're talking about, generally speaking, what the world would call Jews, they almost all come up reading the extra canonical stuff,
mm-hmm.
the Talmudic stuff. And that, I think, gives a person a Machiavellian mindset. I'm not trying to impute that sinisterly. I'm saying it's a broader perspective than most people have. And so there's an analogy. I can't think of it. It escapes me. But
if I could interject real quick, mm-hmm. just to get back to the broader point of discussion of, mm-hmm. of the clip. And to tie it into what you just said, yes, Galatians 3, the only egalitarianism in the Bible is through Christ, and that's spiritually. But that coming to Christ and not mattering whether you're a Jew or Greek or male or female, it doesn't take away, it doesn't deconstruct gender or function in society. There is no observable egalitarianism in the Bible or in God's creation. Everything is not equally performing. And I think that's observed in individuals as well as groups. I think that's my overall sort of the way that I view things. And I can prove that in multiple ways in the Bible. I mean, there are slave and masters. And even mm-hmm. as Christians, you're not to, you know, there's still those levels. In other words, God has created an order. And that's in the animal kingdom and observable in human beings. And I think that's my overall point.
That is a touchy, perhaps, flashpoint. And we're headed into a break. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, January 19th, 2024. And so when we went out, so during the break, you know, the real show is during the break, as usual. Just kidding. I don't know. Maybe we'll do something at some point, like an after show. Maybe that could be a fundraiser. But And we'd have to do it with Mike. It sounds counterintuitive, you know, whiskey and cigars. We've joked about that. Anyway.
I gotta say, we will release the secret tapes of Jeremy and Chris off air for a donation. That's my recommendation. Yeah. Let's kick it. Get around.
That would have to be a special donation because, anyway. So when we went out at the break, you said God has created an order. So basically, we all knew you were a social Darwinist. We just never got you to admit it. And finally...
No! And we all knew that you bought into this egalitarian affirmative action stuff. Now it's coming out in the wash.
There you go.
See what kind of content you guys... Get out the checkbooks, please.
We're found out. We're discovered.
Hey.
But seriously, do you want to clarify on that or anything? Yes, no?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
In the same way that there's an order of the Father and the head of Christ is God, the head of man is Christ, the head of woman is man. So there's a functionality difference there.
Oh, man. And a misogynist. Oh, we're in trouble.
Dude, everybody knew that. I'm infamous for that on RBN. I mean, seriously, a woman has, you know, breasts and a uterus. Like that for a purpose.
Well, I mean, it depends on who you ask these days. But Donald Trump doesn't even, you know, he's even confused about that.
That Lady MAGA, yeah. I mean, but look, yeah. Why would a woman use her body in combat or in full contact sports, right? There's an order there, right? Yeah. Men tend to be stronger. Think more rationally.
This is interesting territory. I don't mean to cut you off, but with the women in combat sports and warfare, you know, again, environmental determinism. You mentioned, you know, what I would broadly categorize as the Asian cultures. There's an environmental aspect to this. I think that that you know.
Well, but let me just real quick, just for the break. So let's look at this on a global level. I mean, civilization's been brought to Africa how many times? And there's certain parts of it that have flourished, but, you know, after apartheid, it went completely downhill. You don't even have to defend apartheid. This is just an observable thing, right? And
are you?
You can bring, like, there's demonstrably, like, lower.
Was it civilization that was brought, or was it the apartheid that was brought? Because I think the worst abuses, I mean, there was, you know, tribal infighting, but I think the worst abuses, the Jewish slave trade and things like that have been imported, maybe.
And again, we don't want to get off in the weeds and me having to defend everything about apartheid. I'm just making the observable, you know, the observation that it was running water and working farms. Yeah. So, I mean, so environment could change. But there's also, like, you have blacks in America are higher IQ than blacks in Africa. Why? Because they've been exposed to European Christian civilization, and there's been a lot of intermixing. You know, I like classical music. William Grant Still is a black composer. He's mixed. Very brilliant man. So, you know, there is environment, but there's more than that. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
Interesting. Well, we're headed into a break. The second hour is coming up, so we're gonna have to do that. Stick around, folks. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.